This is the Stock Day Podcast, sponsored by InvestorsHangout.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes and YouTube to stay up to date on penny stock news and interviews. Public information on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world. Here's your host, Everett Jolly.
On today's show, I'm bringing you a brand new company, and I'm super excited to have this gentleman on my show. Their company actually came on my radar about 2 or 3 months ago. The name of the company is ResGreen Group International, Inc. They trade on the OTC markets under the ticker symbol RGGI. And with us today, I'm very excited to have him on the show, is the CEO of the company, Mr. Parsh Patel. Parsh, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
You guys are a leading developer of artificial intelligent robots. Also, you guys have autonomous mobile robots, autonomous guided vehicles, and you guys have highly skilled engineers. All that being said, tell me more about your company and the basic technology, and especially the applications in the pandemic world you guys are going after.
Right. So the company specializes in material handling systems. There's not that many vehicles around that can carry something that's 100, 200, 300 pounds. People like to go ahead and build vehicles that are 1,000 kilograms, 2,000, 5,000 kilograms. We have expertise in that, but we have developed expertise particularly in smaller vehicles because that is what is needed in distribution centers, in hospitals to be able to move goods and services, you know, from point A to point B. In factories where they do assembly, you need to be able to move all this material around. Not all the material is 10,000 pounds. You know, it's like not all the material handling out there is BMW engines. Very, very small assemblies that do need to move from point A to B.
Right.
Additional work gets done, and then you move it right along. Well, you need to have flexible systems for that. You know, you can't afford to go and put 10,000 miles of conveyor to be able to move these things. Fine. When we didn't have the technology, we used to do that. Now we have technology that can discreetly move items from point A to B to C. What that requires is very deep knowledge on how integral the process is between what a human being who's working on it, between the product flow and all the quality controls that go integrated into this. So what ends up happening is, you think that, okay, I'm going to go ahead and put two parts together and then it's going to move from station A to station B. You can now check when A and B, the part has gone together, you can actually check on the vehicle that it was assembled correctly, and then you move on. So we build those kind of vehicles, but about 4 months ago, there came an opportunity where somebody says, hey, can you carry a UVC lamp? Well, UVC lamp only weighs about 2 pounds, 3 pounds, and it requires a lot of power. And said, yep, we have enough capacity to have extra energy source. And we can carry a 2 pound light, no problem, but we need to work at it. So instead of getting it fabricated, we decided, okay, well, we'll just go ahead and 3D print it. And we have in-house printers, we have in-house designers who can design 3D parts. The challenge with 3D is the way, let me explain to you just on a very large scale. If you design something on your screen and say, okay, that's a part I want, go 3D print it. It's not going to print it very well. The way you design this thing is how the printer is going to print it from the platform up. So what's the base is going to be and how you're going to build the entire wall up. That is how you design 3D parts. And that's what our expertise is, to be able to design large parts, maybe 17 by 17, to be able to print on a printer, which I've not seen at too many places. Actually, I've never seen one, right? So we're very, very good at doing that. Now, what we do is we also integrate very, very sophisticated sensors while we are printing this. So you really don't need to go and mount the sensors afterwards. While it's being printed, you can go ahead and integrate the sensors. Now you have a highly valued piece of work that is easy to assemble and easy to launch. And that's how we were able to put this particular Wanda SD robot in less than 120 days, start to finish, to be able to put it on the floor so we could start testing in lodging industries and some office space.
I have two questions for you. One, I believe that your flagship robot is going to be called Wanda. When are you going to be able to commercialize this, and when do you think you're going to have the first robots out there on the marketplace?
The first pre-production unit is coming out on the 28th of this month. That's the date that's been promised to me by my guys. And if everything works out with that particular unit, then they're going to go ahead and produce a limited run of about 14 or 15 units. And if that goes all right, then we can go full force. I think we can do about 30 units a month without adding any more printers or capacity. But if a large order comes along, then it's a function of scaling up, and the scaling up requires X amount of printers to be brought online. And, you know, we could do easily double, triple the amount if we have to do it.
And the space that you guys are going after is one is hospitality. Is that correct?
So as a starter, because that's where it is. I mean, I think I was talking to somebody the other day. If you saw a billboard with a housekeeper's a mop and you know, spray bottle and a cloth, and then you saw a picture of Wanda with its own UVC lights on, where would you prefer to stay that night? Because Wanda would have touched the entire room every day consistently, all 365 days a year. Okay, where a housekeeper may miss it, you know, and may do a very good job on day number one, day number five, day number seven. But, you know, I mean, this is a human being working at it, you know, and can't do it consistently. And that's where we want to go out first. As soon as we do that, then we may just zero in into office space, high use office space. And after that, we want to be able to go ahead and look at schools, because that the school budgeting takes a time. You know, they just can't go and say, oh, I want to buy 100 of these. They got to go ahead and put it in their budget and say, okay, now we can afford to do this. The nice part is at night when you go home, Wanda doesn't work. So it's not, it doesn't break the budget for the maintenance people, and you don't have to evacuate the place and say, oh, yeah, well, you know, we're cleaning. You got to leave. It just does that. And that's going to be the same with medical space, too. I have a number of relatives who are physicians. And they're telling you, as soon as they see a patient, we want the room to be disinfected. Well, you can't spray your way out of this with all these toxins. UVC light just does perfect. You know, the doctor leaves, the patient leaves, this thing goes in, stays in there for about 5 or 6 minutes, comes out, and it's ready for the next patient.
When I think robots, I think lots of money. I'm thinking $50,000, $100,000. Let's talk about price point. Have you got that figured out yet?
Yes, we have it figured out. Now, the robots you're thinking about is the one we use in industrial automations. You know, those are $40,000, $50,000, $100,000, $200,000 robots because the payload it has. Robots now have come as far as because of the sensor technology and improvement and miniaturization of sensors, the pricing have come down. And the assembly and the original configuration that we want to put it on, our robots are going to be at about a $5,000 to $7,000 range, which I've been at it since 1980s. I have never seen a mobile robot to be able to go ahead and have that kind of price range. I've seen some of our competitors' robots. They start at $40,000 and up, and then that requires a person to come out and commission it or provision it. In our case, you're going to bring it out of the box, download an Android app, and power up and say, move out, let's go do some work.
I want to switch gears here just for a second. Your market cap's around $3 million. Your stock price is around $0.05 to $0.055. That being said, tell us what makes your company so much different and longevity-wise from the autonomous mobile robots that are already out there.
Well, the company is different because the way we produce our robots, right? I mean, most of the times when people produce these robots, the cost is fairly high. And, you know, we're able to go ahead and produce these things very, very cheaply. That's one. But second thing is that we can adapt. Somebody wants a sensor A, B, and C in there. We can put it right in line without having to go back and re-engineer or redraw this thing all out again and say, oh, okay, 7 months and you can have that. Those are the two things that really come into play for us. We're nimble, we're small, and we have a deep bench of what are the things that can go wrong when you do these kind of things, and what are the things that go right. And collectively, if I walk around the lab, I'd like to say that we have about 100, maybe more than 100 years of experience of robotics and sensors, and we put it to play every day. As it is right now, we are thinking that almost all of our robots are going to have 5G interface on it, as a standard, and it's going to have Wi-Fi 6E, as a communications, a normal communications mode. Everything is going to be operated by either Android or an iPhone. So you're not going to go and build specialized pendants that cost $7,000 to build. That's not going to be the case. You're going to use something that's available to you right now. So, you know, we can aggregate all these pieces of technologies that come around in pieces, but we can make very good use out of it right away. And that's what sets us apart. Large companies, it takes a while to change something. We are brand new. You know, we can afford to change things very, very quickly.
Parsh, first of all, I want to thank you for coming on the show. Second of all, before I let you go, what is it that you want my listeners and your stockholders to take away from today's interview?
That there is a company that is capable of producing a robot by printing it and making it cost effective, meaning a salon can buy it, a fast food restaurant can buy it, a hotel chain can buy it, a pre-kindergarten school can buy it. These are not prohibitive. These are not, you know, where you need capital budgets to be able to go and buy it. And that's what I want somebody to get over, get a takeaway, that to sanitize something completely, it doesn't have to cost you thousands of dollars, you know, maybe pennies a day.
My guest today has been Parsh Patel. He is the CEO of Rescreen Group International. For me, I think this company is completely undervalued here with a market cap around $3 million. If you want to know more about them, you can also go to their website, www.rescreenint.com. Also, you can go to the OTC markets, look them up. Their ticker symbol is RGGI. Parsh, thank you so much for coming on the show. I hope you come back in 40 or 50 days and become a regular and give us more of an update on your company.
I certainly will. Thank you very much for your time, and you have a very good day.
This program is entirely sponsored and produced by La Jolla Media LLC, which is responsible for the content. The opinions and information provided on this program are for educational and research purposes. Stock Day encourages all listeners of this program to do their due diligence and research when determining investment strategies that will work for them or to seek the assistance of an investment professional.